Psalm 148, and we'll get there in a little bit. Psalm 148. Today we are in a church building. We are the church, the saved believers. When was the church started? Not this church, the church at Pentecost. All right, the church. Now Christ said, "On this rock I'll build my church." Speaking of, we could say Peter, or we could say his profession that he is Christ, the living God. So there is the church, the body of Christ. What kind of people are in the body of Christ, the church? Saved people. Everybody in that church are the saved. Now, we have a local church here, starting in Acts, of course. They met in houses, then in buildings. The book of Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, and all the letters that he wrote. And you think about the physical church, and it's got some problems, doesn't it? And you think back to the book of Corinthians, and boy, the people at Corinth had some problems. Okay, help me here. What were some of the things going on at Corinth that Paul had to deal with?
Incest,
that's pretty bad. What else?
Idol worship.
What else? There was man worship. I'm of Paul. Paul led me to Christ. No, I'm of Apollos. And then the really spiritual ones. I'm of Jesus Christ. Okay, so you had that going on. You also had believers taking each other to court. So we got people in the same church suing each other, take them to court. That's a nice thing going on in the church. Think about the church, not necessarily our church, but the church in general. And maybe if you want to think about it as our church, what do you think, in your opinion, would be the greatest sin going on in the church today? Okay? I can see you thinking. Some of you are going, what's that?
Pride,
which leads to a lot of sins, doesn't it? Lack of praise. Okay?
Gossip.
Apathy. I heard something somewhere. Other gods. Sure. What else? Okay, people that are unbelievers, okay? You know, I was hoping no one would get the right answer. Oh, I say the right answer, the answer I'm looking for. However, Dr. McNeely came through in the clutch. Yes, pretty sharp. I shouldn't have had you turn to the text yet. I think one of the greatest sins in the church today is a lack of praise. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I want you to think about this last week. How much time did you spend praising the Lord? Compare how much time you spent praying and asking for things to the time you spent praising. Now, one of the reasons I'm teaching this lesson today is because I need it. I need it. And I'll be honest with you. In the last 2 or 3 days, I've done really well. Because I knew I was going to teach it this morning, and I've been thinking about it. It's been on my heart. Praise is commanded in the Word of God over and over and over again. In fact, as we start the lesson, number one, I want you to see the priority of praise. The priority of praise. The word praise is found 270 times in the Bible. And over half of those are found in which book? The book of Psalms. 154 times in the book of Psalms. Now, I'm going to read a bunch of passages to you. Then I'm going to read Psalm 148. Then we're going to read 150 together. All right? So listen as I read. Psalm 22:23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. It's pretty clear. Psalm 67:3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107:8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 111:1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my, I like this, whole heart. Wow. Psalm 113:1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 117:1. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Did you notice, by the way, all the times that we hear the word all over and over again? Psalm 135:1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Psalm 135:3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. We'll talk about that one later on some more. Psalm 147:7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Then Psalm 148. Follow along as I read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Any questions? Who's supposed to praise the Lord? Everybody and everything. Now, Psalm 150, let's read it together out loud. Can we do that? Psalm 50, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psalter and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Wow. Now you say, wait a minute. That's all Old Testament. Yes, it is. Let me give you something from the New Testament. Ephesians 5:20. Listen to this. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in most things give thanks. It'd be a lot easier if that's what it said, wouldn't it? In everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. You say, Gary, what's the will of God for my life? Here's one. Thank God for everything. Wow. In everything, give thanks. One more, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How often are you supposed to be praising God? All the time. Now, if the Bible tells us to do something and we don't do it, what is that called? When I fail to praise God, it is sin. So we see the priority of praise. Number two, the power of praise. And I want to show you the power of praise on yourself, on others, and on God. Number one, on yourself. Look to back up to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse 9. Psalm 42, 9. David said, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down in my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Now, that's great, isn't it? What kind of condition do we find the psalmist in? Bad. Everything's bad. He said, I'm troubled. My enemies are overtaking me. Everything is bad. Bad, bad. It's terrible. It's all bad. And so he says, hope thou in God. Notice verse 11, for I shall yet do what? Praise him. By the way, if you were here Sunday night, you heard Brother Abbott preach a wonderful message on this. I'm just kind of piggybacking on there with him because I need this. He said, everything's bad. I'm going to praise God. Now, the simple matter of fact is, how does it affect you? Well, he said, look, he said, things are bad, but I'm going to hope in God and I'm going to praise him. You know what praising does? Why, if things are going bad, now if things are going good, why should you praise him? Because things are going good. If things are going badly, why should you praise him? What does it do for you? That's exactly right. Changes your focus. Changes your focus. Because instead of thinking about, oh man, right? And instead of thinking about all the problems, all the difficulties, it changes our focus to the God who can take care of any problem. That's what praise does. When you can't pay your bills, God, I thank you. It's you and everything. God, I thank you that you can meet any need I have. And instead of depression because of the bills, we have hope because of who God is. And Daniel kind of shared this with us, I don't know if it was last Sunday morning, with the 12 spies that went to the land. And this always amazes me. It always amazes me. Because 12 guys go in the land to spy it out. And what did they, what was in common? They all saw the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And 10 of them said, oh, giants, big cities, we're in trouble. 2 of them said, God can do this. You see the difference? Praise turns your focus from the problem to the problem solver. No matter what the problem is, as you praise God, you're going to begin thinking about him. In Psalm 74:21, he said, let the poor and needy praise thy name. Is that strange? Shouldn't it say, let the rich and those who have everything praise thy name? But that's what it says. Let the poor and the needy. That doesn't make any sense to me. But the whole point is, it gives them the right attitude. It gives them the right focus. And not only the right focus, but it gives you right thinking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he says you need to cast down wrong thinking. Now, when you're going through a trial and you're depressed, what's your thinking? What's that? Yourself?
The problem?
What is your thinking about God? Be honest. Okay, don't be... Well, I'm spiritual. I never have wrong thoughts. Come on. Why? Why did this happen?
Where is he?
God must not care. God must not
be able.
Right? Let's be honest. Come on. Don't look so pious. You've got your King James Version, and I'm spiritual. You know? No, when we're going through a trial, we're saying, wait a minute, God, what are you doing? You promised that you would do. What is going on? And our thinking about God is wrong. But what happens when you start praising God? What happens to your thinking about God? Remember, casting down imaginations. I love that thought. When you are saying God doesn't care about me, you know what that is? It's imagination. Are imaginations true? No, they're made up thoughts. They're not true. And when we conclude God doesn't care, God doesn't love me, God is not able, we have imaginations, things that are not true about God, but we're casting those down, these things that are against the knowledge of God, and we're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you've got troubles and difficulties and discouragement and depression, where is the battle? Right here. And praise helps you to fix your thinking. It gets your focus in the right place. It gets your thinking in the right place. And so we get to Philippians 4:8, and he says, finally, brethren, what kind of things are you supposed to think about? Things that are, what's the very first one? True. Okay? So praise affects you inwardly, but it also affects you outwardly. Okay? In Psalm 33:1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Listen, for praise is comely for the upright. Now, we don't use that word, probably. None of you said to your wife this week, you are comely. You know, almost sounds like saying something bad about him. You know, you are comely. You know, but it means beautiful and pleasant. We're going to do a test, okay? All right? I want you to turn to somebody nearby and said, I hate life. Just do that, okay? Turn to somebody in your meanest way and just, come on, turn to somebody. Come on, you guys. Let's go, Larky. Come on.
Can't be honest.
No, okay, good. Now, you guys are not doing well because you're all laughing and smiling. But it ought to be, I hate life. I hate it. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. Now, which one do you like the best? What kind of person would you rather be around? Somebody, oh, I hate life. Man, it's the pits. You ask them how they're doing, and they tell you. You know? Wouldn't you rather be around somebody and say, well, you know, but praise God, God's working in my life. And boy, it's just, I mean, just think about the difference in facial expression and body expression. Right? That hangdog look like somebody just ran over your cat. Well, that might be a good thing. No, don't tell my wife I said that. Okay, sorry. And you go from that to praise the Lord. And it's just, it's a total change. He said, praise is comely. I tell you what, folks, I'd rather be around somebody who's praising God than any day than somebody who hates life and is just miserable. Wouldn't you? How many just say, boy, I wish my wife was miserable? And you may have made her miserable. I don't know. No, you want joy and you want happiness. That's what praise does for a Christian. Praise God anyway. Praise the Lord. Boy, my guy just ran into my car. Praise God. God's going to take care of it. He's in control. He knows all about it. It's going to be all right. Or, man, this idiot, stupid guy ran into me. He's probably texting, probably drunk, some degenerate. Ran into my car, and now he's ruined it, and I've got nothing to. Which kind of person you want to be around? He said, look, folks, praise will affect you internally because it'll change your focus, it'll get your thinking right, and it'll affect you outwardly. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Okay? So, how does it affect you? Secondly, how does it affect others? How does your praise affect others? Turn to Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto my cry. Now listen, he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Now if you have a new school, or an old Schofield reference Bible, there's an A by that. If you look at the center column, what does it say? A pit of noise. Isn't that what problems in life are like? Just a roaring, just a, all this stuff, you know, going on. And he said, that's where I was, in a pit of despair. Oh, that's a great Princess Bride thing. How many know Princess Bride? That's classic. My daughter gave me a cup it said, oh, what does it say? It said, Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. If you've never seen The Princess Bride, it is the one film, Christians don't watch movies, but the one film that I would recommend to you, it's a classic. Anyway, The Pit of Despair, that's where he was. And so look what happens. He said, God brought me up out of that pit of despair, and he's out of the miry clay. You see that? What ever tried to get out of a pit that is like red clay and it's wet? I mean, you're just helpless. You just can't do anything. He said, that's where I was. He said, and God brought me out of that. Verse 3, put a new song in my mouth. What's the song in his mouth? Even praise unto our God. Now look what happens to others. Many shall, and I've always wondered why it didn't say hear it. But it's not. It's see it. Many are going to see what God did in his life. They're going to see how he went through a trial and God brought him out and he's praising God. And other people are going to see it. And because they see it, what are they going to do? They're going to fear and trust in the Lord. Wow. Did you realize that? Your praise can draw people to God. Think about that. You're at work and you get a phone call. Something bad has happened. How does the world respond? Oh man, a Christian can say, well, that sounds bad, but you know what? God's still on the throne. God said he's going to provide all my needs. I'm going to praise him. It's going to be okay. I'm going to praise God no matter what happens. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise God. And because of that, the believer can actually influence those around him with his praise. Great example, Paul and Silas in prison. Remember that? They were unjustly beaten, thrown in the jail, dungeon. Now, let's just be honest. What would we be doing? Moaning and groaning. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? What were they doing? They were singing and praising God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, I'd say the other prisoners knew what was going on, and these guys have been beaten, they're bleeding, they're in pain, they're hurting, they're in bondage, and the rest of the prison going, you know, every prisoner in jail, what do you know about them? They're all innocent. Didn't do it. I was framed. I didn't do it. And here these guys are that really were innocent, and they're singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. You say, did it affect the prisoners? Well, I tell you one thing, it affected God. And God reached down and shook that prison. All the doors come open. And here's the amazing thing to me. If you went down to Sullivan County Jail, and you said, okay, boys, we're opening all the doors, help yourself. What are they going to do? They're out of there. They're out of there. Not one prisoner left. Isn't that amazing? Why do you think that was? I think they saw something real. They heard something real. And even in a prison, these guys' praise affected other people. You know the story of H.G. Spafford, a man who had great property and great business there in Chicago in the fire. Chicago Fire, he lost his business, lost much of his holdings, and decided to go to Europe to go on vacation, sent his children and his wife ahead. And as you know, the ship sank. And he got that telegram, first two words, saved, alone. So he gets on a ship to go to France to meet his wife. And the captain comes out and says, sir, this is where the ship went down. And he wrote those words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You know, I don't understand that. I guarantee you, every one of you at some point in your life has been ministered to by that song. Why? Because a man who was in great peril, who lost almost everything, was able to say, it's okay. Praise the Lord. And by the way, in one of those verses, isn't that what he does? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Now, folks, he wrote that on the deck of that ship. And it affects every one of us because of that. So, how does it affect us? Changes our thinking, changes our focus. How does it affect others? Turns them to Christ. How does it affect God? You ever thought about this? How does your praise affect God? I can give you two things real quickly. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, listen, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, what does it mean to inhabit? To dwell, okay, to remain, to draw near, to settle down. What is he saying? He's saying, when I praise God, it causes God, his presence is greater. You ever notice that? If you want to experience the presence of God. Now, we know God is always here. We understand that. But if you want to experience God moving in your life, he said God inhabits the praises of his people. That's an amazing thought. You say, oh, I want to know God's presence. Start praising him. You say, I've got nothing to praise him about. Oh, yes, you do. In fact, probably if we looked at our lives, probably 95% we could praise him for, and there's 5% that he said, praise me anyway. But we focus on the 5%. Oh, woe is me. Look, folks, he said, if you will praise me, I will draw near to you. I will. I just read in my devotions a while back the dedication of the temple. Boy, I wish I could have been there. Listen to this, man. They had a choir, 288 people, 120 trumpets, and then all the other instruments. And by the way, all of those people had one job. What was it? Praise God. That was their job. Praise God. And they did it. And the Bible says they were all as one. Choir members, you know what that means? They practiced. That's exactly right. They practiced. They were all as one. And when they did that, what happened? Whoosh! The presence of God. Why? Because when we praise God, folks, it brings his presence. And very quickly, it also reveals his power. And I'm not going to spend much time here because Brother Butch already covered it Sunday night. When they put the choir out front, I've had several choir members resign since then. They went into battle, they put the choir out front, and what their job was to praise God. And when they praised God, God wiped out the enemy, and the soldiers didn't have to fight. They just had to go pick up all the good stuff and take it home with them. Why? The power of God. All right, so the priority of praise, the power of praise. Number three, the path to praise. How can you become a person of praise? I think there are a couple things. Number one, I'll be honest with you. We said early on, if we know it, the Bible commands it, we don't do it, it's called sin. What's the first thing we need to do? I think we need to ask God to forgive us for our lack of praise. I know I do. God, forgive me for not praising you continually, offering the praise of our lips continually. Ask for forgiveness. Secondly, I think we need to change our focus. Change your focus. How do you change your focus? Okay, I mean, the problems are still there. How do you change your focus? What are some things you can practically do to change your focus? How do you do that? How do you replace the thoughts? This is not rocket science, folks. What do you do? Read the Bible. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. 5 points for you. Good. What do? You want to know who God is? You want to think about who God is? Get in the book. This is where he reveals himself. You don't have to put your hand in the radio. Don't have to send money to Benny Hinn or anybody else. Folks, just get in the book. And it will replace your wrong thinking with right thinking about God. By the way, another good way to do it is to listen to good Christian music. Music that exalts the Lord. Music that gives you a right view of God. By the way, this morning the choir is going to sing. We're going to sing a high church song. Holy, we got the robes out. It's going to be great. Holy, holy. What is that song talking about? Well, it's talking about who God is. Is God holy? Do we need to remember that today? Oh, my soul. We're trying to give you a right view of God. Holy is he. He is holy. Listen to godly music that doesn't just give you a thrill and make you tap your foot, but gives you a right view of God. Okay? That's enough preaching on that. Several of you are ready to throw your Bibles at me. All right. Let me give you the last point. The preparation of praise. You ever think about this? What are you going to do in heaven? Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And I may get to lead this choir. It's possible. I'm practicing. Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't know how many that is. What is that, a million? 100 million? That's a bunch. Thank you. Can you imagine leading a choir of 100 million? And it's like. And what are they doing? They're singing praise to God with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. You know what you're going to do for all eternity? What are you going to do? Praise God. Isn't that something? For all eternity, we're going to be in heaven, and we're just going to praise the Lord. For some of us, that's going to be a shock to our system. We don't do much praise in here. God wants you to praise him. God wants me to praise him. Doug, I'm not sure if you're raising your hand or holding up the post.
When I was younger, I got saved, I would thank God and praise God for all the temporal things and all those kinds of things, the family, the house, the job, the car. The older I get, the more chaotic our world gets, I find myself praising God for the fact that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven to be with him.
Amen.
And that's the top agenda for me.
Amen. And isn't that what they're praising God for? You're the Lamb. You were slain. You paid for our sin. So let me encourage you and myself today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, Gary, but I've got this going on, and I've got this going on, and I've got this going on. Praise the Lord. Change that focus, folks. Change your thinking. Be a testimony in this world of the power of God and the goodness of God. And as you do, you're going to experience the presence and the power of God in your life. And someday, when your heart stops or the Lord returns, you're going to quit praising him here, and you're just going to go on to heaven, and you're going to praise him there. The song Daniel and I sang last week, someday this stammering tongue will falter no more, and a grand and sweeter song I shall sing. For I'll join the heavenly choir on heaven's bright shore forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And I'll sing it while ages shall roll. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the admonition from the Word of God. And Lord, we're good complainers. I'm a good complainer. I'm a good grumbler. God, make me a good praiser. Oh, God, help me to be a man who praises the Lord no matter what's going on. Oh, God, help us to be a people of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.